the unseasonal weather that we're experiencing at the moment. 2 weeks ago, and yes, although it was allegedly arson, it could very well have been started because of the very hot temperatures we experienced in Cape Town. And I'm talking about the Table Mountain fires. Because of the heat as well and the wind that picked up during the afternoon, we saw a critical situation develop on Table Mountain. Yesterday, for instance, it was hot. I didn't know whether it was winter, autumn, spring, summer. Today, a similar situation. Coming into work this afternoon, my car's thermometer said it was 34 degrees Celsius. We've invited climate scientist at UCT, Peter Johnston, to join us this afternoon. Peter, good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining me. Do we have reason to be concerned about the unseasonal weather we're experiencing at the moment?
Hi, Jeremy. I'll just go back a bit. People in Cape Town always say that the winter rain starts at Easter.
Yeah.
And we've never had Easter in the middle of May.
Yeah.
So Easter came and went without any rain. April came and went without any rain, or very little. It's very, very hot today. We don't see much rain in our future, although there's a little bit possible on Wednesday. And, of course, it's a concern. Two reasons it's a concern. One is that because this is not what we would put in the normal range. This is not what we'd expect. In Cape Town, for example, you'd expect about 50 millimeters in April, mm-hmm. and we had 10. So with the absence of rain, obviously more clear days, hotter days, the heat was overbearing sometimes. It's not usual. So we're on the end or the edge of the sort of, if you like, what we call the distribution of weather events. It's extreme weather that we're having right now. The second thing is that we, in the back of our minds, we think back to the 15, 16, 17 three-year drought that we had in Cape Town, and we ask ourselves, well, was that a once in a 1,000 years or once in 100 years, or are we likely to see that more often? And we worry as climatologists because although the evidence of reduced rainfall isn't crystal clear, the evidence for higher temperatures in the future is. And even if our rainfall stays the same, a small reduction in that rainfall and a small reduction in increased temperatures is going to put us or make us more vulnerable to water shortages.
How big an impact, though, would you say it will have on us in the near future from, say medium to long term, if we're looking at it from a scientific point of view?
Okay, so in the medium term, one doesn't get too concerned. The forecasts have been saying since early January, February, early this year, they've been saying that we shouldn't expect early winter rains. Now, those forecasts aren't all that skillful, but if they detect something that's giving us an indication that the rain may come late, then really what we have to do is sit and wait. Our dams are relatively full for this time of year. That's not too much of a concern. And if we don't get rain until June or July, or even if we don't get rain at all, we will survive on the water that we've got until next winter. Mm. That's just the fact. And the city will probably introduce some restrictions and just curb our usage just to make sure we don't go crazy. On the other hand, agriculture won't survive. Certainly the winter wheat regions, the canola, the barley, and those sort of crops that rely on winter rainfall, they won't survive. So that's going to have an impact on farms and farm workers. In the longer term, if we have another dry season next year, then we seriously have to start considering that maybe the climate change that we've been talking about is actually upon us.
Yeah.
Now, we will definitely get wet years in the future. There's no question. The climate works like that. There are cycles, there are wet cycles, and there are dry cycles. And the dry cycle maybe we're going through right now is going to be a serious wake-up call to the city and also for agriculture.
Just in terms of contingencies for the future, Peter, what are those contingencies and how quickly do we need to come up with potential solutions or fallback situations if this continues?
Okay, so there are also two points to this. And the first one is the city has for many years been projecting the increased usage by residents and perhaps introducing the impact of reduced rainfall in the long term. And so they've made certain plans according to priority and to cost. And during the drought, they were forced, because those plans weren't yet in the planning or in implementation stage, they were forced to do silly things like get a very high-priced desalinization plant that didn't work very well. And everyone will tell you that those were pretty much a failure. I don't know if they're going to go that route again. What they are doing is they are looking at the way dams collect water. So Fulfle Dam has been expanded so that it's got a larger catchment area. The other dams are being managed more carefully. Leakages are being reduced. We're looking at recycling water. We're looking at using water from the aquifer. All these are on the planning horizon for the city and are contingencies that will be introduced or fast-tracked if we see that we're running out of water again. But it does take two dry seasons before the alarm bells really start going off. And I would, if I was in a position of advising the city right now, I would say to them, listen, what are you going to do if we don't get a good rainfall this winter? What are you going to do if we don't know that we are going to have a good rainfall next winter? And love to hear their responses.
Okay, what would your response very briefly be if you were to be asked those questions from the other side?
My response would be to say, look, if we're going into a dry winter and we haven't had rainfall in April and possibly May, then we should be ready to introduce restrictions just at the click of a switch, if you like, mm-hmm. and tell people that we've got to start saving water. Whether you increase the tariffs, which is not always effective, or just reduce the usage of water and the demand of water by make people aware. You know, people aren't stupid. They remember the drought. And you just have to tell them, look, we are short of water. And then they will start saving. If they do act stupidly, then one has to bring in regulations. But I think being open and honest and talking about it, which is the same thing, did not happen before the last drought. The city did not come out and say, look, guys, we're running out of water. We must do something about it. They panicked at the last minute. And now is the time, in the beginning of May, for the city to say, we haven't had our regular rainfall. Guys, please save water.
Sure. Peter Johnston is a climate scientist at UCT. Peter, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.